Behind the Herald Headlines with Darren Mann.
The boardroom battles continue at EP Rugby. Long-running feuds and administrative infighting amongst officials once again landed before the courts this past week. The courts reinstated George Malchus as acting president of the union. And the man he replaced, Gerald Antoni, joins us on Behind the Herald Headlines today. Tit for tat appears to be going on, Gerald. George says he was locked out of meetings by you, and now you say he's done exactly the same thing to you. What's been going on?
Darren, it is not the same thing that is going on. It is a constitutional situation that we are sitting with here. Sorry for taking so long.
Sure.
Darren, what had happened here is that when any person in an organization is going against the policies and the constitution of the organization, that organization has the right to suspend and put that person to a disciplinary hearing. That is precisely what had happened to misconduct within the organization, and that misconduct is evident again now. The EP executive had two meetings, virtual meetings, and also a full-blown meeting at the union. And I think it is 2 months ago, where the same things happened, where George Malchus was misbehaving, and the executive decided that we have to suspend him based on a hearing and the DC procedure that must be followed. So this is not the same thing. What happened here, this court order, if you read it in totality, the court order is talking about 4 points. And the 4 points is one, that the decision taken on the 6th of February at the Holiday Inn must be overturned. That's one. Based on what? The second, and let me deal with this court order first. The second one is the suspension of George Malchus must be revoked. And the third one deals with what has been said, the AGM of the 23rd. That AGM of the 23rd, it is where all administrative and planning for the next year will take place, which means, one, the budget was okay. Two, our competition formats for 2024 and how it will look in the different leagues. Three, all the provincial games that will be played in line with the South African rugby competition. Darren, that court order set all these things aside. That court order said we must reinstate him. When we talk about reinstatement, we are looking first of where this person was in 2023. In 2023, we told George Malchus that he is not the acting president of EP. That was the highest body. They told him, and as the nature of this person is, he doesn't listen to structures and to the constitution of EP. The highest body met with George Malchus on the 4th of November, where George Malchus declared himself after the president, Mazur Kenan, was suspended. When Mazur Kenan was suspended, the organization did not have a deputy president because Mazur went into the position of Mr. Raderman, which means all two of those positions were vacant, and the constitution is talking about within 3 months. Unfortunately, these positions were never filled.
If I may just interrupt there, I'm just having a little trouble following, because certainly as a layperson, I'm not au fait with all the ins and outs of every clause or addendum to the EP Rugby Constitution, and neither would listeners be. But the fact of the matter is the courts have looked at what happened. They've looked at the Constitution, and they've come out with this ruling in his favor. I mean, we need to be able to trust the courts when it comes to legal matters.
The court order says George must go back to his old position, and that is vice president. Not deputy, not president, vice president. George, which means George has become an ordinary executive member, where the executive will decide according to clause 16 that we had discussed on the 6th of February. That then, because why, you cannot act past two positions. If you are the deputy president, then the constitution says he must be the acting president up until elections is taking place. That was not the case here. George was a vice chairperson, and that is how his position is. And that is how the court must find it, that the constitution and the rugby people of the Eastern Province knows George as a vice president. So, the meeting of the six, when Saru was here, we will allow the situation because the constitution talked to us, if there is no president or deputy president, then we as the executive members must choose amongst ourselves. And in that meeting, Saru was an observer, and the meeting was chaired by George Malchat. When we decide we will follow that route, George had given over the meeting to Mr. Francois Davis and Shamel Dipasani from SARU. Then nominations was taken from the floor. People were standing there to be acting presidents of EP was Gerald Antuani and Mbulelo Kidani. George was not nominated by any person in the executive. The elections took place and I was voted in as acting president. A legitimate process, a meeting called by George and everything. And to our surprise, George went on and he went to the courts. The next step was the preparation for the AGM that was delayed because of these problems. The AGM of Eastern Province Rugby is on the 28th of February. Each and every year, we only managed to get a meeting after all these delays, only after the 23rd. We went on, the process went on. At that point of time, after February, George was writing different letters and suspending and different letters and threatening people in the different sub-unions. Because of that, we suspend George with evidence in front of us, as he is the person that brings rugby into circuit. Then everything went on. School trials went on. The varsity cup went on. League games were played. But still, there was this internal problems and the instigator is George. Subsequently, George went to the courts. He went to the courts and a court, we had been sent a lawyer's letter that I had discussed with the executive. And our lawyers look into this thing because Saru was the first respondent, EP executive, the second respondent. And then, so strangely, I am certain 27 executive members were respondents. I explained to the executive and I explained to the AGM that there is a case like this. And subsequently, they said, no, I must get authority from the highest body in order to employ a lawyer to look after this thing. At that point of time, we have 10 days that we must comply. Are we going to contest this thing and no or not? We delayed the adjourned AGM, ended, and we were not in a position to get the authorization that I needed in order to advance and go to different attorneys to attend to this matter. At that point, Darren, what happened with this court order and all our lawyers, because we have done this thing constitutionally and we didn't, when we were serviced, the clubs were served through AIM to Sharon Brown. Saru was served through Chantel Dupasani. They brought my thing here to the school. They brought Valerie's one to They met her in Clary Estate at the taxi rank, and the others were served 3 months or 3 weeks after that order, so which means that 10 days was not in place. But what I'm in short wants to tell you, Darren, and the listeners, is that this court order, we were in a position, of, according to my legal advisors, to win this thing easily because constitutionally we had followed the wrong processes. But we also want to show George that the court order nullifies the annual meeting decisions, one, the budget, two, the competition formats that was agreed upon, and which means all these club games and things that we are playing is null and void. Now you must look at the seriousness of this matter. The same person came back without informing me and the executive. He went straight to the office to the workers and informed the workers that he is the president of EP now. I did not get an opportunity to call the executive together in the clubs to inform them that EP Rugby, because the court order is straightforward, it talks about EP Rugby, that all decisions, rugby in EP Rugby, had come to a stop. Last week, a notice was written by him without authorization, because the executive is the person that must decide. He went into and he made a lot of changes in EP Rugby. He called a meeting, he called a press conference when no executive members turned up, because why, he is not the executive leader. Yesterday's incident, I arrived there at 4:30. I was one of the first cars that arrived there. But we were driving in a convoy because all the guys, we had an executive meeting prior, and all the guys were driving together to the venue. When I arrived there, the gate was locked for the first time in EPIN, and you also know, because people are buying tickets there when they are going for a Chippa United Orlando Pirates game, but the security detail is normally sitting there in front of the office. But the gate is locked, and the person that normally sits there is a person that takes your registration number and all those things. Yesterday, we arrived there, and the gates were locked for us. Unfortunately, my car was standing in front, followed by other executive members' cars that were standing there. As we arrived, the South African police also arrived at the same time. People are talking now, they're the people who hold those hostage. No! The gate were locked and they got instruction. The person that was now employed by George as the general manager, our general manager is Sharon Brown. When we arrived there, the new general manager is Patrick Mangu, who had given him the go-ahead to make changes in the structures. Subsequently, three executive members that was elected democratically and by the clubs, Mr. Gerald Antoine, Benjamin Barnes, and Roger Serfontein, were not allowed to go to that meeting. Then I showed them the South African, the communication that came from South African Rugby. That all people that was in a meeting of 2023, February 6, 2023, must be in that meeting. SARU had given us 36 hours to call a meeting that had ended at 9 o'clock on Wednesday. This guy, George Marcus, hijacked that process also, and he decided, because he's arrogant, and he decided to call that meeting a day later on Thursday, where people must now arrive at lock gates. That was never the case at EP. You must remember that we are volunteers here. You must remember that I'm coming from education. I'm coming from education. I was the head of EP Rugby, high school rugby, for a very long time, where we perform on the field of play. And now, this man is putting all these things in disrepute. The narrative that goes out there to the public is that EP Rugby is fighting. EP Rugby is not fighting. EP Rugby is fighting with a person that wants to be president at all costs. I told him, if you want to be president, put your name on the nomination list so that we can go to the polls and let all the workers and the executives do their jobs. Because these people are not getting paid. These club officials and presidents and executive members are doing this job as volunteers. What is there in the purse of EP? Maybe only they know what they want there. But EP will be run just like the high schools, like the universities, with order and respect. We can go through these troubled waters now, but I am going to bring change and structures in and have a financial policy that will take this union to the next level. That is my story, Darren.
What is the next level, Gerald? We've heard next level for years and years and years from EP administrators.
The next level is to have competent administrators in there that will take the boardroom policy, the boardroom achievements or things that we want to put in place will then move to the next level. And the next level is excellence. Excellence on the field of play of all the other teams, to bring them on par with the schools, to bring them on par with the university, that we feel the university is getting there. So the professional teams and the IPL team, the women, must also play on the same levels, and the standards must improve.
Are we tired of hearing this, Gerald? All we've had for the past few years is various factions at boardroom level. It doesn't matter who's right, who's wrong, but it's just gone on and on and on. And at some point, you know what? We've just had enough. It seems like a bunch of children that are running the thing. It's become personal. Yeah. It's not about being professional. It's not about what's best for EP Rugby. That's why sponsors have walked away. That's why players have walked away. That's why the public have turned their back on the team. It's because of the administrators. And at some point, all of the administrators collectively have to take responsibility for this.
Darren, as we speak here, I had sent in my report to SARU. I had sent in my report about the incident this morning. SARU will take care of the scene, Darren. And the public will must bear with me here. This instability came on already for the last 20 years. And we are going to change this thing. And we are busy changing. But these small obstacles, that is very frustrating for the public. I know. Because I'm working with school children and I'm coming from the schools. I know. People don't want to be associated with EP because of this. But I'm telling you now, we have identified the problem areas. We have to work to get rid of the problem areas. And I can promise the people, in our first interview that we had, I said to you that people are going to enjoy their rugby again. And that is going to happen there.
When? How long do we have to wait?
Darren, let's wait at SARU finish their internal investigations and then we will take it from there. It will be in the next 2 or even maybe a week. Let SARU do and its legal department, let them do their job and for some time come down here and deal with the issue. All of us know what is the issue here. All of us. But people are afraid to speak out. But these problems are coming now for the past 20 years.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, Kevin.
If elections took place, George Malchas stands for president and he's voted in. Do you accept him as president?
I will easily. Darren, I'm in rugby now for the last 40 years. As a coach, a school coach, a club coach, provincial coach, and at national level. I do accept Malchas if he's going to be the winner, then he must do this. I will still be in rugby and I will do my job. Darren, I'm not a person that is defiant. I'm not a person that is in a fighting mood, because I'm a school teacher first, and I'm binded by a code of conduct and a code of ethics. But order will be restored by the clubs, the last body that must come here and destroy. But now in 21 days, I think we've got 19 days left now after Tuesday. Then people must go and vote and put stability back in EP.
Well, on that note, I'm going to leave it, because stability and excellence is something that I think EP rugby fans have all but given up on. Our board members need to get their house in order. I think it's a message that's come from SA Rugby as well. Let's give it another week or two, but honestly, we are tired, Gerald. And again, it doesn't matter who's right. It doesn't matter who's right or wrong.
I will update you on the day, then I will update you on a weekly basis, and I will also update the people of the Eastern Cape what is going on. But change is coming there, and I can promise you that.
Gerald, thank you very much for joining us and giving us your side of the story. We watch with interest and with not just a little sense of desperation.
Thanks, Darren, and thank you to your listeners again.
That was today's edition of Behind the Herald Headlines with Darren Mann.